Yesterday we learned of how the Jewish people grumbled and were rebellious against Hashem. And they don't want to go into the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about that. And at the end of the third reading, he says that God promised not one of you will come to the land of Israel. But there is an exception. Every rule has exceptions. And the exceptions are, in verse 36, Zulasi Kolev ben Yefuna, with the exception of Kolev, Hu Yirena, he will see the land. The rest of you won't, but he will. Veloy etain es haaretz hashadorba, to him I shall give the land upon which he trod. This, of course, refers to Hebron, Ulevanov to his progeny. Ya'an asher milei achare Hashem, because he followed God, not the ideas of mortals. Zulasi Kolev ben Yefuna. So the Ibn Ezra asked the question, why is it that Kolev is mentioned before Yehoshua? After all, Yehoshua is a person in the end of greater prominence. And the answer, he says, is not because of who decided not to listen to the Meraglim, or who remained resolute in their commitment to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather, who made a difference to others? Who got everybody to be quiet? Who tried harder to persuade everybody? The answer is Kolev. But Yahas Kolev. Kolev is the one who said, everybody, shut up and listen to what I have to say. Now, he wasn't effective. That's true. Neither Yeshua nor Kolev were effective, but who made the greater effort to be effective? The answer is Kolev. And because Kolev made the greater effort, mind you, Yehoshua knew they wouldn't listen to him. That doesn't make a difference. The fact is, Kolev remained the one who put the greater emphasis on trying to make a difference, and therefore, he receives the greater reward. He's going to get Chevron. The Or HaChaim says that Kolev has two zachuyot, two merits, more so than Yehoshua. What was the two merits? Number one, he turned away from the machinations of the scouts, the Meraglim. He didn't say anything negative, but he kind of maintained a low profile. They didn't know that he wasn't one of them. And he did this to be able, once again, to be effective, to try to counterbalance their message of negativity. When they would convince the people not to go, he would be there to try to remonstrate that the opposite is true. So because, number one, he tried to avoid their pitfalls. He avoided their pitfalls. So therefore, he merits not to die, not to receive their punishment. And then he merits to see the land, which is not the negative, but the positive, as the Torah puts it, because he followed Hashem, because he bid his silence, because he didn't let them know what he was thinking, so that he would be more effective. And because he made those extra efforts, that's why Hu Yirena, he gets to see the land, and he receives the land, Asher Darach, by the land that he walked in. Rashi says, what is the land that he walked in? Ha'aretz Asher Darach Ba. Rashi says, this refers to Hebron, because only Kolev actually penetrated the city itself, or went into the city proper. Shenemer, as it says in the story of the Meraglim, it says, Vayovoy ad Hebron, Vaya'alu ba'negev. They went up into the Negev. They all had to be there. Kolev couldn't have taken a three-day detour and then got back to join everybody else. They all went to that area, but it was Kolev who specifically actually went into Hebron. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu turns his attention towards Yehoshua. And he says, Gam bi hisanaf Hashem. God was angry at me too. Beglalchem, because of you. Lemer saying to me, Gam ato loisav Hashem. So, in the verses prior, we talked about the idea that the Jewish people couldn't go into the land of Israel. The nation of Israel that left Mitzrayim was not the same nation that entered Eretz Yisrael. The nation that left, at least the males, died in the desert. It was the next generation and the woman who entered the land of Israel. Now Moshe Rabbeinu interjects and he says, me too. I also was not able to go into the land. Be his anaf Hashem. God was infuriated with me. And beglalchem, that was because of you. Lamer saying, Gamata loitav Hashem. You also will not come there. Rashi tells us, what is the meaning of the word hit anaf? Hit anaf, Rashi says, this denotes anger. It comes from the terminology of anger. And it means nitmale roges. God became filled with anger, so to speak. So what will happen instead? Rashi, by the way, says nothing else. Just says hitanaf. God became full of anger. Instead, Yehoshua ben Nun ha'omed lefanecha. It is Joshua who stands before you. Hu yavo shama. He will come to the land. Oto chazek, strengthen him. Ki hu yanchilen es Yisrael, because he is the one who will bring inheritance to the Jewish people. So very interesting, Rashi says nothing about the idea of biglalchem, because of you. What does this mean? What does it mean? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly begin to say, oh, by the way, he's angry at you, and by the way, he's angry at me too. You can't go to the land of Israel because you refuse to go. I can't go biglalchem, because of you. And that's why Yehoshua is the one who's going to be taking you into the land of Israel. Rashi is mum, says nothing. However, if you take a look at the Mefarshim, all of them virtually comment. Ramban, for example, says, it was because of the argument you put up, and because of the miraglim that you sent, that in the end, we were delayed from going into the land of Israel. And then, not only did you delay this situation for 38 years, and because of that, we ended up in the reality where I had to face the waters of contention. Had we gone into Eretz Yisrael 38 years earlier, that would never would have been an issue. Not only this, you came, you kvetched, you complained, and as a result, I hit the rock. So if not for the Jewish people's misdeeds, misfires, Moshe Rabbeinu would be in Eretz Yisrael. The Panim Yofa says that there was a lack of faith on behalf of the Jewish people. And the lack of faith was that they didn't want to go into the land of Israel. They followed the Meraglim. Because of this lack of faith, Moshe Rabbeinu had a profound need to strengthen their faith. How would he strengthen their faith? So this is why Hashem designed the situation where he would go and speak to the rock rather than hit the rock. It was designed to strengthen their faith. In fact, what did it do? It even weakened their faith, because instead of speaking, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't listen exactly what Hashem said, and instead he hit the rock. So because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu is punished. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't enter the land of Israel. So if you trace it back, says Panim Yofes, it was the lack of faith that required the strengthening of faith that ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu failed at, and that's why he can't go. That's the idea of Biglalchem. The Ur HaChaim says, simply stated, if not for the sin of the Meraglim, Moshe would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash that would have been built would have been an eternal one. In our terminology, Mashiach would have been here. And this would have, everything would have changed. Instead, the Meraglim sinned. Because of this, everything had to shift. Now it would have to be a natural conquest. That couldn't be Moshe, that would have to be Yehoshua. We would be in the land of Israel, but in the end it would be exile. If it had been Moshe Rabbeinu, that couldn't have been. So it's all because they didn't do plan A, that we get plan B, as in Tisha B'Av, the plan of what we're dealing with. It's all because of the Jewish people. Kli Yakar, similar thing, he says, because of you. Because you delayed the entrance in Eretz Yisrael 38 years. Because of that, the time came for Miriam to pass. Miriam didn't die because of a sin, Miriam died because of old age. And then because Miriam passed away, there was no water. And because there was no water, you came complaining. And because there was no water and you came complaining, I had to go find water. And I spoke to Hashem, and Hashem said, speak to the rock. And so it all goes back. And it's various ways of looking at this as to how things didn't work out as a result of the Jewish people. The Rush is the only one I found says something very different. He says, I remain in the desert. And the Rush bases his words on a Medrash that says that the shepherd that was sent out with the sheep, and then something happened to the sheep. So they said to the shepherd, you can't come back without your sheep. When your sheep will be back, that's when you come back with those your charges. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he was sent as a shepherd, and the sheep died in they died in the desert. Where did Moshe have to remain? In the desert with them, and only when Mashiach comes and the Mesa HaMidbar will rise, those who passed will once again join us. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, at their helm, will come back to the land of Israel. Will come to the land of Israel, but he has to be there together with them. So that's more of a biglalchem. But very interestingly, Rashi says absolutely nothing. Does not talk about the biglalchem, does not talk about the fact that it's because of you. He doesn't explain it in any of the ways. Doesn't speak about it. So you might say, well, there's no hechra, there's no Can't prove it one way or the other. Pshut HaShomikra is beglalchem. You know, you figure out the reason. Or maybe Rashi felt this was so easy to figure out that he didn't have to say anything. Well, here's the little problem. Little problem is open up your Biurim book on page Lamed Gimel on the bottom. It's Simel Lamed Chaf Aleph. The Rebbe begins by noting that there is a pasuk Bal Teichen Deime. There is a very similar verse that shows up just one parsha later. This parsha is called Dvarim. The next parsha is called Veschanan. And just one parsha later, in Deuteronomy 3, chapter 3, verse 26, it says, quote, Vayis'aber Hashem bi l'manchem. God became infuriated with me on your behalf, v'leishama elai, and he did not listen to me. This is with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu's request that the Jewish people should enter the land of Israel despite their refusal. They should enter the land of Israel anyway. So there, Rashi says, L'mancha, because of you. What does it mean, because of you? God was angry at me because of you? Says Rashi, Bishvilchem. L'mancha means Bishvilchem. Sha'atam geramtim li. You caused it to happen to me. V'cheinu eimer, Rashi says, this idea is articulated by none other than David HaMelech in the book of Tehillim in Psalms, Psalm 106, it says, V'yakzifu Almei Meriva, Vayera Lemoshe Ba'avuram. He became angered at them, at Mei Meriva, the waters of contention, which are the proverbial name for the concept. You're in the wrong book. Yeah, that's the one book that you got yesterday. Page Lamed Dalet. So David HaMelech says in Tehillim Psalm 106, verse 32, he says, Vayakzifu al mei meriva. He became angered at the waters of contention. Vayera l'meisha. He was bad to Moshe. It was bad for Moshe. Ba'avuram. What does ba'avuram mean? Because of them. Ba'avuram. So here in this week's parsha, it says, Biglalchem, which biglalchem means because of you. Rashi says nothing. One parsha later, a similar verse, here it says, Vayisaber Hashem bi, God was angry at me, l'manchem, and therefore v'leshom elai. And here, Rashi, l'manchem is because of you. Atem geramtem, you caused us. Now it's interesting to note, Rashi doesn't explain in detail how atem geramtem, whether it was because of your sin, or it was because of your lack of faith, or it's because it was delay, that's why Miriam passed, the various explanations of the Mefarshim as to what happened. But he does say that it means because of you. So if Rashi says in Parshas Va'eschanan, when it comes to the word l'manchem, Rashi says bishvilchem, l'manchem does not mean on your behalf, but means as a result of your behavior, you caused this. Well, in Hakam Chumash Devarim, where it says biglalchem, Rashi doesn't explain that it doesn't mean on your behalf, but rather due to your bad behavior. Why doesn't Rashi say anything? Why does Rashi here not explain that word? In the very same way that he explains it in Parshas Veschanan, the similar word, similar text, similar context, and Rashi goes ahead and spends time explaining and even cross references. That's the question. Yesh Leimar. So the answer suggested Abba is because this verse here that speaks of the cause for things going wrong with Moshe is what's called a Maimer HaMuzger. This is an incidental. That's not the primary thrust of the message. In other words, there are times when things could be mentioned, even in the context of a biblical narrative, but in the biblical narrative, there's a primary narrative and then there's a secondary narrative. There's the point we're trying to make, and sometimes because you're trying to make a point, there are various things that you're going to be hitting on the way. We're going to mention or deal, because we're speaking about this, so we'll mention certain things. But that's not the point. And the Rebbe suggests that this parsha, what we're reading now, is a sekes kan b'cheta meraglim. Here Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the Jewish people for the sin of the meraglim. He's not talking about the waters of contention. He's not talking about later lack of faith. He speaks here specifically about the sin of the scouts, the refusal to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael when Hashem wants and expects the Jewish people to follow orders. So because this happens, because there was a chet, because there was the sin, because there was the rebellion that was brought about by the scouts, so what was the result? A terrible decree, a gezeira. The gezeira came bi'ikvesav, on the heels of that behavior, of that mistake, and it was a gezeira that was leveled against Dor HaMidbar, the entire generation of the desert. All of those men, lo yukansu la'aretz, none of them will enter the land of Israel. So now comes the question. Okay, so if the subject matter here is the sin of the Jewish people, if the subject matter here is the idea that they couldn't go to Israel because they didn't want to go to Israel, this is the punishment that came because of their rebelliousness, specifically the rebelliousness of the Meraglim. So ma lezeh ulegzeda shenigza almeishra beinu b'parshas Me'mariva, what does that have to do with the waters of contention? There's a 38-year gap between the story of the Meraglim and the story of Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, not speaking to the rock. Kodiv la'arboim shana, it's almost 4 decades la'achar mikain later on. Almost 4 decades later. So yes, the Mefarshim created this narrative in which what happens 4 decades earlier has an influence on 4 decades later. And that's true, of course. The things we deal with today are the result of mistakes that were made 40 years ago. That's absolutely true. 40 years ago, the Iranians took over the U.S. embassy and held them hostage for 300 and something days. 40 years ago, the West dropped the ball. And we did not have the courage and conviction to stand up to fascist Islam. And where are we today? Had we taken affirmative action at the time, had we not stood by it, Carter not dropped the ball, we wouldn't be in the situation we are today. But it became one thing after the next. And they were emboldened and empowered, and the mistakes of 40 years ago are playing out in real time, tragically, in our day and age. So you can't say, hey, that was 40 years ago. Let's not confuse the fact. Let's forget about what happened 40 years ago. Let's focus on today. Well, if you want to be honest, you can't do that. If you want to look at circumstances and situations, now, is there a point to bemoaning and beating up the past or kicking a dead horse, as they say? I don't know. That's a good question. But if you want to be realistic about what's going on, what happened 40 years ago is what influences the reality of today. So, did Moshe Rabbeinu not go to Eretz Yisrael? Yes. Where did that all begin? Wasn't the sin of the golden calf? That's not where it began. It began from this Chet HaMeraglim. Okay, it's true. There is a link. There is a domino effect. Had there not been a sin of Chet HaMeraglim, there would never have been a Mei Meriva. But nonetheless, they're separated by 40 years. It's not the narrative. If you talk about a circumstance, a situation that's happening yesterday, and you talk about the things that led up to it, as in the events of the last weeks, or maybe the last months, it doesn't make sense in that context to talk about, oh, by the way, and 40 years ago, and launch into a long discussion of what happened 4 decades ago when the West didn't have the courage and gumption it needed. That wouldn't make sense. So because that's the case, why are we even mentioning it? Why are we mentioning? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu mentioning this idea of the Mei Meriva when the Mei Meriva is separated from Chet HaMeraglim by no less than 4 decades? Ha-hezber l'kach b'derech ha-pshat. So the answer, simply stated, is Sha'advorim mafiyim kan b'derech agav. That here, these details arrive or are mentioned kind of incidentally. That's not the point. And why are they being mentioned? K'dei l'hazber es ha-hevdol ben Yehoshua l'kalif. To explain the distinction and difference between Yehoshua and Caliph. The truth is, Shnehem Nitzlu Migzeres de Hamidbar. Both were saved from the decree that was leveled against all of their peers. Ach, Beyachas LeKaliph, with regard to Caliph, it says, Hu Yirena. He will see the land. V'loy Etein Es Haaretz. To him I will give that portion of the land. Why? Because he did something really special. Because he found the courage, he found the strength. It didn't come to him easily and naturally. He didn't get any fancy blessings from Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't empowered and elevated and energized. He had to go look for it. He had to make the effort. And kedei lahasber zeis mitzayin akosav es hasiba la'atolos hatafkid zel Yehoshua. So why is Yehoshua leading the people into the land of Israel? In other words, let me remind you something that I told you just a little while ago. In the beginning of today's class, I shared with you that the Or HaChaim says, with regard to Kolev, that he did two things. What were the two things he did? Number one, he didn't follow the Meraglim. Number two, he planned to try to diminish their influence. He planned to try to thwart their plans. So he was quiet. He played along. They didn't know that he was really against what they had in mind. And therefore, when he said, "Shut up, everybody!" Everybody says, "Quiet. Oh, what's he going to say now?" Everybody's ready to listen. Even the Meraglim said, "Shh, Kolev wants to speak." And the people were ready to listen to the Meraglim. And then after they got everybody to speak, Kolev said, "Are you people crazy? Olei nale, for sure we could do this. Lachmeinu heim." They're like, "Eat him for lunch. We have nothing that stands in our way." And then the crowd turns away. They don't want to hear what he has to say. But Kolev planned this whole thing out very carefully. Nobody knew what he was about to do. Yehoshua didn't do that. So, like the, Ibn Ezra said, there was two issues over here. That Kolev comes first because Kolev not only didn't follow along with the Meraglim, but Kolev actually planned. He was quiet. He did something to try to undo what the Meraglim did. Yehoshua didn't. So the question then is, why is Yehoshua? I know why Yeshua is not going to die in the desert. Why should he die? He didn't do a sin. Well, why is there emphasis on entering the land? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You want to know the truth? You know why he's entering the land? Because I can't. Because he's getting a promotion, because I'm not around. Because I'm not going to be able to do this. That's the reason. Hu yanchilenu, he's going to be the one to inherit this for you, but that's primarily because I can't be there to do it." It wasn't Yehoshua's virtue. Yehoshua earned the right to bring the people into the land of Israel. Yehoshua was better than Moshe, if you will. It's only that because Moshe wasn't able, so who was second best? So hu yanchilenu, Yehoshua. And this is Mefarshim talk about Yeshua ben Nun ha'oimed lefanecha. What does it mean, oimed lefanecha? Ibn Ezra says he is mesharis. He is a loyal servant. The Medrash Lekach Tov says, because gedolah shemusha yoyser milimuda, because he served, he ministered to Moshe, and that's even more than learning from Moshe, because he was at Moshe's side all the time. So these are all reasons. Ultimately, his whole greatness is because he was your student. He was your disciple. It wasn't what Yehoshua did per se. It wasn't because he set the world on fire. It wasn't because he had a huge influence on Klal Yisrael. It wasn't because he planned to somehow save the nation. No, simply because he was Moshe's loyal follower. But if he's Moshe's loyal follower, why wouldn't Moshe? If his whole ticket to fame is Moshe Rabbeinu, then why would Moshe Rabbeinu himself do this? So Moshe Rabbeinu has to explain. He says, he interjects and he says, Kolev deserves who you don't know. He made the efforts. He tried to stop this, and therefore, he's going to get a special portion of land. Yehoshua ben Nun, why is he leading the Jewish people? For this, verse 37 gets inserted. Gam bi asanaf Hashem beglalchem. You know, God got angry at me. And because God got angry at me, and says, gam ata letavi, it wasn't for the same reason. It's not that I didn't want to go into the land of Israel. But because of you and because of your actions, that's where it ended up. So therefore, Yehoshua ben Nun oimed lefanecha. That's why Joshua now is the one who receives the promotion. He is standing by. He will take you into the land of Israel. In order to explain to us how it is that Yehoshua ben Nun ends up in that position of leadership to be the one to conquer and divide the land of Israel and get a portion to the Jewish people, La'atolat ha'siba, the reason La'atolat tafkidzel, Yehoshua, comes be'ikves ha'gzeira shenigzera al-Mesha. It wasn't what Yehoshua did right, but rather what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong.
Is it conceivable, though, that Hashem told Moshe even back then at Ketam Mergulim that he's not going to...
It is not conceivable. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that.
So
he was unaware. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know at that time he wasn't going to Eretz Yisrael. And you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading before Hashem. That's the beginning of next week's parsha, Vaschanon. That he prays and prays and prays over 400 prayer sessions, hoping to get into the land of Israel. But in the end, the answer is no.
How did hitting the rock seal that deal?
That's a good question, but that's a separate class or a series of classes. How hitting the rock sealed the deal. And ultimately, we're told that with all of the rationale, the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lead the Jewish people into the land of Eretz Yisrael was because God didn't want it to be. Because God didn't, it's like a pretext. That's not the point here. This is not the discussion of Mei Meriva. This is not what was the sin or failing of Moshe. This is How did Joshua end up in that position? Why is Yahushua doing this? Kalev, okay, we know why Kalev. He's going to get the land. He's going to see it. Why? The Pasuk says. He's going to get the land. Lo yetin shadarachba. He went to Chevron. He was brave. He planned it out. He was going to do something. He deserves it, so to speak. Yahushua is almost by default. It's only because Moshe can't be there. Because verse 37 almost doesn't belong here. Verse 37 is only the bridge that links 36 to 38. It only after we talk about Kalev ben Yefuna and we talk about why he merited, and then we talk about Yahushua. How did we get to Yahushua? What did Yahushua do that was so special? Well, not really much, to be frank. It was really Moshe, it was the lack of Moshe's ability. It was because Moshe couldn't, Moshe wouldn't. Not Yahushua could and should. So therefore, since it's only a Maimer Amuzger, Ein Rashi Reye Tzarech Laharech Kan Befirush HaDvarim, Rashi doesn't feel compelled to explain the details here. Where does Rashi share his words of explanation? Where does he elucidate? Rashi is very measured. He says not where it's mentioned incidentally, but rather where the primary thrust of that narrative is being told, which is later on in Parshas Veschanon, in which Meimeriva is the discussion. So when we get to Parshas Veschanon and we discuss the specifics as to why Moshe Rabbeinu can't enter the land of Israel, there Rashi says the meaning of Lemanchem means Beshvilchem, it was because of you, Atem Geramtem Li, you caused this all to happen, you set me up. That's all true. But the narrative of that detail, that narrative of those, that part of the story, comes later. So Rashi will explain the thrust of the story when the thrust of the story arrives. When something's mentioned merely incidentally, just to get us to a point, Rashi doesn't feel compelled to mention anything at all. And here we see a certain symmetry in Rashi, which none of the other Mefarshim have. All the Mefarshim speak about this, right? The whole series of reasons, explain it this way, that way. This shows us the unique quality of Rashi, how measured he, how precise, how exact, how everything, every explanation, every elucidation that's offered is offered exactly in its rightful place. And that, my friends, is the story of Yahushua's promotion. It also helps us understand now, you know, in a bigger picture, Yahushua's virtue, that it wasn't so much Yahushua's virtue, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu's failing ultimately that catapulted Yahushua into the position of leadership to bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. Of course, as we mentioned at the beginning of the class, when Moshe Rabbeinu will come to Eretz Yisrael, everything will be perfect, right? It would have been perfect then. There was a big delay. So the Eibishter should help that Moshe Rabbeinu should finally come to Eretz Yisrael. And everything should be perfect with the coming of Mashiach in our days. Amen.